John chapter 11 tonight. John chapter 11. I want to thank the Lord for a good day and a good rain we had today. Thankful for that. Pretty bad storm, stormy weather too, though. I believe Miss D informed me earlier. She just lives right down the road, but that lightning had struck close to their house, and I think had done some damage. And so we pray for them. And these summer thunderstorms rolling through like that. And as I was talking to Miss Beverly, we're glad that they don't last long. They just move through and drop some rain and move on. But very thankful. How's everybody doing tonight? Amen. Everybody have a good day? Everybody got something to be thankful for? Amen. That's good. Well, we do have coffee back there. If you didn't get a cup coming in, they even put out the 16-ounce cups. I don't know if they're trying to say something about my preaching, but it's the bigger cups. And so you might keep you awake and or longer messages. I don't know. But nevertheless, good to see you tonight. Very, very thankful for you. You have your place there in John chapter 11. I just want to share a thought with you tonight before we go to pray together. And the subject is prayer, but more specifically, I want to talk about giving praise in our prayers. Giving praise in our prayers. Notice with me in the Bible, it says there in verse number 38, Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. And Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Most of you perhaps are familiar with this account. We have Jesus coming to the grave of a dear friend, Lazarus, and friends that were grieving, Mary and Martha. And you'll remember that Jesus did not come as soon as they wanted him to. We always need to remember, God is not on our timeline, we're on His timeline. And Jesus did not come as soon as they would have liked, and He waited a couple days. And in fact, when He arrived, they were upset. They were a little agitated, honestly, a little aggravated, questioning Jesus, why have you not come already? We know that you had the power to raise him up and bring healing to his life. But in other words, you're late. And can we be reminded tonight that God is never late? Never. And he's going to teach them this, and we're going to learn many truths through this this account of Jesus coming to them. But again, the title of the message and the theme of this thought tonight is giving praise in our prayers. We have Lazarus, who is going to be raised from the dead. We just read about that. Martha and Mary, his family grieving. We have the village of Bethany, which is not far outside of Jerusalem. There are people there grieving. Specifically, the Jewish people there were not grieving in the same way that Mary and Martha and Jesus were. They were wailing, and which it tends to, as you see in the scriptures, that it was not as sincere. But it was a form, it was a custom that when someone had passed to put forth a wailing as a way of showing, again, sympathy, if you will, and respect for the family. But it was different for the Lord and Mary and Martha. They were truly, truly grieving. Now, when we get to this, again, the Lord has shown Himself as one who is touched with our grief. We know that because notice in verse 33, when He came, He saw her weeping. Now, that in itself should speak to our hearts. Jesus Christ sees our tears. And He takes note of them. And they truly impact His heart. Your tears, my tears, your grieving, your burden touches the heart of God. In fact, it is, I make it a practice when I am praying with a family that I have just walked in the house and they have just lost a loved one. And as I go in and that just that time of grief and such a sensitivity there, I always try to, in my prayer, include that truth that, Lord, I know that You are touched with their grief. You are moved because that is the heart of our God. And He was moved at the weeping that we see here of Mary. And He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Now, there is, again, an understanding there of those verses that there was even a little bit of an agitation in our Lord's spirit. He was grieved. And we have a vivid picture here, folks, of our Lord's humanity and His deity. They are on full display. And we see His humanity as He shows forth that emotion of weeping. Because then, as He walks towards the tombstone or the grave marker of Lazarus, verse 35 says, Jesus wept. And we see how our Lord's heart is truly weighed down with the death of Lazarus, but even more so, or equally, I should say equally or more so, with the weeping of Mary and Martha. But then it says, they even noticed how Jesus, how He loved him, the Jews remarked. And then we see it again as verse 38, Jesus groaning in Himself. And that word groaning there, I did a little word study on that, and it carries the idea, in fact, of Jesus was had a big sigh. He was so carried with that grief before He started weeping. It would have been like our Lord did something like this. I don't know if it was exactly like this, but the idea that we find this word used, it's a sigh. It's a very strong sigh, and He did that on the way to, after He even wept, on the way to the body of Lazarus. But notice what He says here when He tells them to move the stone. And Martha is going to do that, but then she says, Lord, I don't know if You know what You're asking. He did, and she obeyed, and Jesus said unto her, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. And now He's going to demonstrate that. And then they took away the stone from the place where He was laid, where the dead was laid. And this is the phrase I want us to focus on just tonight. It says, and Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard Me. There is an apparent disorder to Jesus' prayer, at least from a human perspective. I would think, in my eyes, you know, initially anyway. Of course, we know the account. We know the ending. Most of us do. But just if I was there, you would think, and even some of the things we face today, you'd think that the thanksgiving comes after the answer to prayer. But that's not the order that Jesus is praying in. The gratitude begins before the answer to prayer. We should practice that. You see, the sower is rejoicing before the harvest arrives. That doesn't make sense to your common man, but it should make sense to the Christian. Because we believe that God is able. We believe that God has declared promises in His Word that we can believe with all our hearts. That God is going to honor His Word and He is going to hear the cry of His people. And Jesus even uttered, "Lord, I am glad and I am thankful that You have heard me." You see, our praise does not and should not be limited to past tense. Now again, there's nothing wrong with being thankful. We should be for the things that God has done. But folks, I think we need to get in a habit of thanking God for what He will do. What He is doing. But I believe that it will honor the Lord as we praise God tonight, as we go into our prayer time together, that we thank God for what He's done, we thank God for what He's doing, and we thank God for how He is going to work. You see, the song of triumph, we see the song of triumph before the conflict was ended. And many of us are in spiritual conflict. In fact, let me just say this. We should all be in spiritual conflict. Every day, we are in some sort of spiritual warfare. We should be if we're living for God. Those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There is a conflict. But, you know, let me give you a couple examples here. Lord, thank You for the victory that You will bring in my life today as I trust You. Think about that. That would be a great prayer just to start off every day. Lord, thank You for the great victory that You are bringing into my life today as I trust You. You're putting that thanks at the beginning. The day hasn't even really gotten started good. All the things have not happened. But yet by faith and believing in the Lord and His Word and His will, you are thanking Him ahead of time. What about this one? Lord, thank You for the lives You are going to change. Lord, thank You for how these problems that we are facing. What about this? Lord, thank You for the way You are going to bring a solution to this problem. Now, if you're like me, you might be looking at some problems. You have no idea how the solution's going to come. you have not a clue. But here's the fact of the matter, folks. Tonight, we can, with confidence and by faith, say, Lord, thank You that You have the solution. And thank You, God, that it's going to be right on time. I just want to praise You tonight, Lord. I believe He will be honored in that. I've been thinking about just maybe even some things with the church. You know, I try to put this in context, things we're praying about right now. You know, it's on our prayer list. I think about this one. Lord, thank You for the lives that will be impacted and will be changed through the start of an addictions ministry. Now, the addictions ministry hadn't even started here. I'm trusting the Lord by faith as He leads us that we will be able to. I believe God has given much liberty and clarity in that, and we're marching forward. But I don't know how He's going to do it. But I think right now, not only do we just ask Him, Lord, would You change lives? And we should. But praise God, we should just as dogmatically say, Lord, thank You for lives that are going to be transformed in the years to come through Your work. Is any of this making sense, y'all? Giving thanks to the Lord Lord, thank you that you have heard our cry on behalf of fill in the blank. You just fill in the blank. Lord, I am grateful tonight. I am praising you that you have heard my cry and you are going to answer into this situation. You are going to bless in some way. You may not know the details of it, but the Lord is. You know, the Lord asked. He prayed. I believe that, it is implied here that the Lord had been communing with the Father, and because He says, "You've heard me." So there was a communication there. And we know that there was the habit of the Lord Jesus praying to the Father as an example for us in that communion. And we even know in verse 22, even Martha, who was, again, agitated that Jesus had not come, she said, "But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." And so here we are in this verse that we find that the thanksgiving is going forth. And not only that, he says that thou hast heard me, but notice verse 42. "And I knew that thou hearest me always." That's another great thing to give praise for, is that, "Lord, I know that you are faithful to hear our cry." With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Where do we find that verse? Philippians chapter 4. "Be anxious," or "be careful for nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving." So again, I believe that idea goes into, as long as we are praying, let's be praising God for His faithfulness in answering that prayer. You know, it is an act of faith. You know, we believe that God is going to work because we believe His Word. You know, we're familiar with Hebrews 11:1. Most of us are here tonight. If you're not, I'm going to read it to you. It's the classic verse for biblical faith. Hebrews 11:1, it says this: "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now I like what Weiss said in his expanded translation. He said it like this: "Now faith is the title deed of things hoped for, the proof of things which are not being seen." I like that. That is, it's a paraphrase of that verse. Again, he says, "Now faith is the title deed of things hoped for, the proof of things which are not being seen." And there's a lot of things we can't see tonight, folks, on how God's going to answer the prayers in our life. As I look at this list, you know, I don't know how the Lord's going to work in all these requests in Wesley's life and Brandon's life and Tim Sparks' life, Good News Club, the Master Clubs, and Van Ministry, Ed Roller Recovering. There's a lot of things on here I am praying for, but I do know one thing. I'm going to thank God for how the miraculous way that He's going to answer every one of those prayers. So tonight, as we go in prayer, let's thank Him a lot. Not just ask. Nothing wrong with asking. Jesus asked. Jesus prayed. But He also thanked God for His faithfulness to hear and to answer. And one little thing I want to give you before I close is found at the end of verse 41. Now, some of this, it just may simply bore you, but that last phrase there where it says, "I thank," where Jesus said, "Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me," that "hast heard" is, in the Greek, the aorist tense, which gives the connotation here. It could be said like this: "I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me." In other words, that thou art hearing me. The idea, He is hearing us right now in the present. always the Lord is faithful to have His ear inclined to the prayers of His children. And so tonight, let's go with confidence to the Lord. Let's go with praise to the Lord. And let's go with our request. And may He be honored and glorified. Would you pray with me?